जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जाना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जाना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा ग्रीवराधारी जय गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवराधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनारंजना यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनारंजना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनारंजना यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनारंजना यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 1, Chapter 7, Verse number 15. Nakulaha सह देवश्च युयुधानो धनंजयः भगवान् देवकी पुत्रो ये चान्ये याश्च योषितः नकुलः सह देवश्च युयुधानो धनंजयः भगवान् देवकी पुत्रो ये चान्ये याश्च योषितः नकुलः सहदेवश्च ययुधानो धनञ्जयः भगवान् देवकी पुत्रो ये चान्ये याश्च योषितः नकुलः सहदेवश्च ययुधानो धनञ्जयः भगवान् देवकी पुत्रो ये चान्ये याश्च योषितः नकुलः Mataji's Nakulaha Nakula सहदेवः सहदेव च एंड युयुधानः सात्यकी धनञ्जयः अर्जुन भगवान् द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड देवकी पुत्रः The son of Devaki, Lord Shri Krishna. Ye, those, cha, and, anye, others, ya, those, cha, and, yoshitaha, ladies. Translation. Nakula and Sahadev, the younger brothers of the king, and also Satyaki, Arjuna, the personality of Godhead Lord Shri Krishna, son of Devaki, and the ladies and others all unanimously agreed with the king. So this has no purport, so we'll proceed with 51 and 52. Text number 51. Tatraha marshito bhimas तस्य श्रेयान् वदस्मृतः न भर्तुर्नात्मनश्चार्थे योहन् सुप्तान् शिशून्व्रता भीमा हाउएवर डिसएग्रीड विद देम एंड रेकमेंडेड किलिंग दिस कल्प्रिट हु इन एन एंग्री मूड हैड मर्डर्ड स्लीपिंग चिल्ड्रन फॉर नो पर्पस एंड फॉर नीदर हिज नॉर हिज मास्टर्स इंटरेस्ट निशम्य भीम गदितम् द्रौपद्यश्च चतुर्भुजः आलोक्य वदनं शक्यैर् Idam Maha Hasanniva. Translation. Chaturbhuja, the four-armed one, or the personality of Godhead, after hearing the words of Bhima, Draupadi and others, saw the face of his dear friend Arjuna and he began to speak as if smiling. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Shri Krishna had two arms, and why is designated as four-arm is explained by Sridhar Swami. Both Bhima and Draupadi held opposite views about killing Ashwatthama. Bhima wanted him to be immediately killed, whereas Draupadi wanted to save him. We can imagine Bhima ready to kill while Draupadi is obstructing him. And in order to prevent both of them, the Lord discovered another two arms. Originally, the primeval Lord Shri Krishna displays only two arms, but in his Narayan feature, he exhibits four. In his Narayan feature, he resides with his devotees in the Vaikuntha planets, while in his original Shri Krishna feature, he resides in the Krishna Loka planet far, far above the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky. Therefore, if Shri Krishna is called Chaturbhujaha, there is no contradiction. If need be, he can display hundreds of arms, as he exhibited in his Vishwarupa shown to Arjuna. Therefore, one who can display hundreds and thousands of arms can also manifest four whenever needed. When Arjuna was perplexed about what to do with Ashwatthama, Lord Shri Krishna, as a very dear friend of Arjuna, voluntarily took up the matter just to make a solution. And he was smiling also. Om Ajnana Dhimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadadi Supadandikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Uttapadakamalam Shri Guru Nvaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Dvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Dalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, translation once again. Nakula and Sahadev, the younger brothers of the king, and also Satyaki Arjuna, the personality of God Shri Krishna, son of Devaki, and the ladies and others, all unanimously agreed with the king. So, the scene here is that Arjuna has bound Ashwatthama the son of Dronacharya. And there is a confusion regarding what to do with him. And he is receiving contradictory orders. While Yudhishthira, Draupadi and others are recommending that he be left alone because he is after all the son of their teacher Dronacharya. Bhima is insisting that going by the heinous deed that he has committed, Ashwatthama be killed. So, Arjuna is facing contradictory orders here. Prabhupada actually says in one of the future purports, contradictory orders of different persons are impossible to carry out. Right? So it happens in spiritual societies also. We get contradictory orders from authorities. So, it's relatable, the situation that Arjuna is facing here. But such situations, even though painful on the face of it, but if we take a closer look at them, they give us an opportunity to actually pray to Krishna, seek Krishna's shelter. Usually our consciousness, our minds are clouded by so many desires. But during such instances, when we are faced with a challenge to take a decision, make a decision in the face of contradictions, those are the times when our aspiration comes to the forefront. What do we actually want in life? That we want to please Krishna at the end of the day. That we want to serve Him and satisfy Him. When we are going about in our daily lives, most of the time that's hidden. It's somewhere within the, beneath the upper layers. And what's on the surface are our material desires and this, and our aspirations are hidden deep within somewhere. And those aspirations really come to the forefront when you are faced with such challenges, situations and circumstances of life. Even though at the moment it's painful to handle it. So here in this instance, it's contradictory orders between different persons. But then in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is an instance of a devotee facing contradiction between pleasing Krishna and pleasing family members. Now for those who have families, pleasing the family is also part of devotional service. Because for a grahastha, that's one of the responsibilities, to take care of the family. And the story I'm referring to is the story of Sakshi Gopal, right? The elderly Brahmana and the younger Brahmana, these two personalities, they were on a pilgrimage. And the younger Brahmana was always helping the elder Brahmana in whatever way he could. And being pleased with him, the elderly Brahmana promises him that once the pilgrimage is over, I'll give my daughter in marriage to you. And the younger Brahmana tries to discourage him, saying that it's not practical, be practical. Because your family members are never going to agree to this. But the elder Brahmana was insistent. No, I want to do it. It's my daughter. Those were the days when fathers would claim that way, that She's my daughter, you know. I'll marry her the way I want her to marry. So he told that. So the younger Brahmana said, if you're so insistent, then let's make Gopalji. So it is said that the temple of Gopalji in Vrindavan was at the same location where the temple of Govindji is situated today. So both of them go in front of Gopalji, and making Gopalji the witness, the elder Brahmana takes the vow that I'll give my daughter in marriage to you. And so the pilgrimage ends, and once both of them return home, the elder Brahman, after a while, he comes to his senses. He realizes that, you know, in a fit of joy, he made a promise which is very difficult to keep. But nonetheless, he has to bite the bullet, as they say. So he calls his family members, his relatives, his friends, and he tells them that this is the promise that I have given, that I'm going to give my daughter in marriage to the younger Brahmana. And then all of them protest. The relatives, they say, we are going to cut off our relationship with you. His wife and his son, they threaten him that if you go ahead with this, we are going to end our lives. We are going to commit suicide. But he says, I have given promise, and the witness is Gopalji. I can't go back on this promise, at least. And so the son, he's quite a diplomat, he says that you don't have to lie. You just say that I can't remember exactly what happened. You know, if the younger Brahmana comes, you just tell that I just don't remember, and the rest I will take care. So he agrees, the elder Brahmana agrees to speak half-truth, like Yudhishthira Maharaj did on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But then, being a pure devotee of the Lord, the elder Brahmana, within his mind, he is taking shelter of Krishna, because he is faced with a contradictory situation wherein the principles of dharma are contradicting with the desires of his family members. In fact, with the life of his family members. So he is praying, Mora dharma rakshapai namare nijajan, dui rakshakara gopal loinu sharan. Mora dharma rakshapai. Dear Gopal, make sure that the promise that I kept is retained. And at the same time, na mare nijajan. And make sure that my family members don't die either. Dui rakshakar gopal loinu sharan. Please protect both of these things. Something similar to what Arjuna is facing here, what we are discussing in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that he has to please both Yudhishthir and Parthi on one side and Bhima on the other. So then what happens in the story of Sakshi Gopal is the younger Brahmana does come, and the elder Brahmana says, I forgot. And the younger Brahmana says, you know, how can you forget? And meanwhile, the son, he comes with a stick to beat the younger Brahmana. The younger Brahmana runs away. He calls all the elders of the village and lodges a complaint, saying that he made a promise, but he's not keeping the promise. So assembly was called, and the younger Brahmana tells the whole story. So the village people ask the elder Brahmana, have you made the promise in front of Gopal? And the elder Brahmana, he says, I don't remember. And immediately the son jumps in and he says that, you know, this fellow, this young Brahmana, he saw that my father was alone. And so he took the opportunity to first of all steal him of all his riches. And now, on top of that, he is wanting to marry my sister. And he presents the logic in front of the village elders that, is it reasonable? Does it make sense that we are coming from an aristocratic family, we are wealthy, we are learned, and this guy is poor, he's coming from a very not so aristocratic family, and he's not learned either. So, does it make sense that my father will make such a promise to him? Doesn't really make sense. Doesn't fit into the logic. And so the elders, they become suspicious. Maybe the younger Brahmana is telling a lie. That for the sake of money, for the sake of riches, people don't hesitate to lie in Kali Yuga. So it's quite possible that he is lying. So then the younger Brahmana, he proposes, I'll bring Gopal as a witness here. So if I bring Gopal as a witness, will that solve the situation? Will the elder Brahmana then agree to give his daughter in marriage to me? So the elder Brahmana immediately agrees. Yes, of course, if Gopalji comes here, if the deity comes here, you know, he serves as a witness, definitely I'll give my daughter in marriage to you. And even the son agrees. He says, fine. If Gopal comes, yes, the marriage will happen. So the interesting thing here is, the thinking of the elder Brahmana and his son is exactly the opposite. The Chaitanya Charitamrita brings this to the forefront. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says, Bada vipre ramane Krishna bada dayavan avashyamora vakyate ho karibe praman. So the elderly Brahmana, he is thinking Krishna bada dayavan. Krishna is extremely merciful and is all powerful. Avashyamora vakyate ho karibe praman. Just to prove true the words that I have given, he will definitely come. Why can't he come? Definitely he is going to come. He had complete faith in the Supreme Lord, the elderly Brahmana. And so he agreed to the proposal. Right? Now why did his son agree to the proposal? For exactly the opposite reason. Because he had absolutely no faith. Putre ramane pratimana asibe sakshirite. Yei buddhye duijana haila sammate. Putre ramane. In the mind of the son, what was going on? Pratimana asibe sakshirite. It's not possible for the deity to come here and, you know, provide the witness. So how can the deity come and serve as a witness? Impossible. So he had absolutely no faith and so he agreed. Ei buddhi duijane hela sammate. So even though one person was absolutely faithful, the other person was absolutely not faithful, both of them agreed on a common principle that if Gopalji comes, the marriage will happen. So that's how Krishna works. So to make something happen, he can bring people with exactly opposite attitudes together and make them agree on a common principle. And Prabhupada in his purport, he makes this point, he highlights this point. He says, as a super soul within the heart of all living entities, Krishna knows everyone's desire, everyone's request and everyone's prayer. Although all these may be contradictory, the Lord has to create a situation in which everyone will be pleased. The father and son were thinking in a contradictory way. Yet Krishna created a situation wherein they agreed. So the point is, if we have the right attitude, if we make the right prayers, then we can pull through any situation in life. We can pull through any perplexity, we can pull through any contradictory situation in life. Brajhari Prabhu may not remember, but, or he might also, but some time ago, he gave a very beautiful class, wherein he said that all it takes to come out of any difficult situation of life, wherein we are confused what to do, right? Decision making is something that we all have to do, and sometimes decisions are tough to make. He said that we can get through any such situation if we make a prayer, a simple prayer that consists just of 5 words, a 5-word prayer that can pull us through any difficult situation. And why? What is that 5-word prayer? How can I please you? That's it. How can I please you? In this situation, if you want to add 3 more words, then it becomes 8. But as simple as that. So if only we do that, then Krishna can do the impossible. He can bring the faithful and the faithless together and make them agree on a common principle. So far we came across 2 situations. One is a situation where there is contradiction between orders. And there is a situation where there is contradiction between the principles of dharma and what the family members want. And then we face certain situations where there is a contradiction between the needs of the soul and the needs of the body and the mind. That's quite common, because it happens practically. And to take care of the needs of the body and the mind is also devotional service, by the way. It's a fact. Because like Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, he says that even though we are not the body, we are living in the body. So as long as we are living in the body, we need to take care of the needs of the body. And Radhanath Maharaj also makes this point very clear. I remember when I was in college, Gaurang Prabhu had arranged a meeting for us with Radhanath Maharaj. And our leader at that time was Gaurari Prabhu, who was quite transcendental. Right now he's a very senior counselor in our congregation. But back then he was quite transcendental in the sense that he wasn't very particular about taking care of the needs of the body, fasting and not sleeping sufficiently. So at night he used to drink a lot of water and go to sleep, so that, you know, when his bladder would start bursting, he would be forced to wake up within 1.5-2 hours, and that's all he wanted to sleep, just 2 or 3 hours. So he used to do such things. So Maharaj, he told him that if you do like this now, then later on as you grow older, a day will come when instead of thinking of how to devote your time and energy to please Krishna, you will have to think in terms of how to devote your time and energy to take care of the body. And when that situation comes, it's extremely embarrassing. Maharaj was like very grave and very sober, and he was trying to speak sense to him, saying that it's important to take care of the body and the mind. as well. It's also devotional service. And it's very interesting that this point comes out very wonderfully in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in a location wherein Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes a clear distinction between what is lust and what is love. Right? Atmendriya Pritivancha Tare Balikam Krishnendriya Priticha Dhare Prema Dhare Premanam. So, you know, whatever pleases oneself, that is called kaam, and whatever gives pleasure to Krishna, that is called prem. Like the definition, popular definition given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the 4th chapter, Adilila. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami goes on to explain how the gopis are on the topmost platform of prem. And he explains, Loka dharma, Veda dharma, Deha dharma karma, Lajja dhairya deha sukha, Atma sukha marma. And he's explaining how gopis, they gave up loka dharma. When it came to making a decision between whether they want Krishna or whether they want to hold on or latch on to loka dharma, they went for Krishna. That's what Krishna Kaviraj Goswami is telling here. Loka dharma, Veda dharma, Deha dharma, karma. So, in this list, what comes out prominently is Deha dharma also. The gopis wouldn't even care for taking care of their bodies compared to pleasing Krishna. When it came to giving pleasure to Krishna, they didn't even take care of the needs of their own bodies and their minds. Iha ke kahiye Krishne dhrada anurag, swachcha dhauta vastraye che nahi kona daag. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says affirmatively that this is the symptom of dhrada anurag, a strong love for Krishna. This is a symptom that nothing comes in between you and Krishna. Not even the needs of the body and the mind, he says. But then, immediately, Prabhupada in the purport, very interesting, right when these discussions on a very high level, on a very esoteric level are going on, which are way above our heads, which we can only aspire for, look up to. When such discussions are going on, Prabhupada gives a very practical purport wherein he quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur and he says, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur warns us in this connection, it's a warning, that we should not mistakenly think that the idea of giving up everything implies the renunciation of duties necessary in relation to the body and the mind. Even such duties are not sense gratification if they are undertaken in a spirit of service to Krishna, which is extremely relevant. And I remember a lot of times reading this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, like right at the moment when you are feeling that what is happening, so maybe I shouldn't be caring too much about the body and the mind, the purport emerges right there to warn us that taking care of the needs of the body and the mind is also part of devotional service if we do it in the right attitude. Because if we do it in the attitude that this body and the mind can be used as instruments to serve Krishna. So, but then, the point is, yes, we understand that taking care of the body, taking care of the mind is also part of devotional service. But then, we face situations in our day-to-day life wherein, you know, directly we are confronted with a situation where the needs of the spirit are there and the needs of the body are there. So which is to be given priority? A practical situation which we face every now and then. You know, my own example I'll give, which might sound like a black comedy, but which is a reality. Just to make things clear here, I got some kind of stomach problem. So once in a while I'm sitting here for japa in the morning, I get the call of nature, you know, I get the pressure, the call of nature. And then I'm faced with this contradiction. I have to make a tough decision now, whether to go to the toilet or whether to sit here, just control and continue chanting. Because during the Brahma Murta hours, who wants to waste those, you know, precious time in the toilet? Right? It's preferable to sit here and continue chanting Hare Krishna. But then you feel that it's not healthy to, you know, stop the urge of nature. It's not healthy in the long run. I just gave this example to make it clear that, you know, we face such situations wherein we are faced with a challenge of whether to go for the needs of the body, mind, or go for the needs of the soul. So, regardless of how the contradiction arises, because of opposing viewpoints of people, because of opposing viewpoints of relatives, friends, family members, and the principles of dharma, or opposing viewpoints coming from the needs of the soul, the needs of the body and the mind. In all these situations, who comes to our rescue? It is Krishna who gives us the intelligence. As Prabhupada makes it clear in the purport here, he says here that Lord Sri Krishna, as a very dear friend of Arjuna, voluntarily took up the matter just to make a solution. He voluntarily took up the matter just to make a solution. So Prabhupada makes it sound here as if Krishna actually gave a solution to Arjuna. But no, he didn't actually give a solution to Arjuna. He just gave the intelligence to Arjuna. Vadami buddhi yogam tam. He gave the intelligence to Arjuna how to handle the situation in such a way that both parties are satisfied. And yes, we are also confronted once in a while with a situation wherein we are confused. We got two services to Krishna at hand, and whether we are confused whether to do this service first or the other service first. Which service is to be given priority? An example comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam of Mother Yashoda in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, Mother Yashoda, this is in connection with the Damodar Leela. Mother Yashoda is feeding milk to Sri Krishna, right? Tamankamarudam apayayatstanam snehasnutam sasmitamikshitam mukham atraptamutsrajya javena sayaya utsichyamane payasitvadishvite. So Krishna is sitting on Yashoda Mai's lap. Tamankam arudham apayatstanam. And Yashoda Mai is feeding him her milk. So she is seeing Krishna's beautiful smiling face. Sa smitam ikshitam mukham. And while she is enjoying her service to Krishna, she observes that the milk that she has kept on the stove is boiling over and about to spill. Now, whether to turn down the fire to save the milk, or whether to continue, you know, feeding Krishna her own milk. Now, she is faced with this challenge. Which service to give priority? Right? And in this confusing situation, she takes the decision that she wants to go and save the milk, because the milk is also for the milk that is boiling over is also for Krishna's pleasure in the long run. And because of this, Krishna is apparently displeased. So therein, Prabhupada gives a very beautiful purport, and I would like to read it as it is. Sometimes one must take care of more than one item of important business for the same purpose. Therefore, Mother Yashoda was not unjust when she left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. On the platform of love and affection, it is the duty of the devotee to do one thing first and other things later. The proper intuition by which to do this is given by Krishna. Tesham satata yuktana bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. In Krishna consciousness, everything is dynamic. Krishna guides the devotee in what to do first and what to do next on the platform of absolute truth. So, under all these situations, it is Krishna as the Chaitya Guru who actually comes and gives us the intelligence of what to prioritize in our life. So that's why Uddhava, in the Uddhava Gita, in the 11th canto, he expresses his gratitude to Krishna. If not for Krishna, who is sitting within the heart as a Chaitya Guru, what would happen of us, in the sense that what would, you know, how would we come to a decision in such perplexing situations? So, Uddhava, he says, Naivopayantyapachitim kavayasta vesha brahmayusha pikrataraddamudaspradantaha yoantah bahistanubhratam ashubham vidhunvan acharya chaitya upusha swagatim yanakti naivopayantyapachitam kavayasta vesha. He says that those who are kavis, those who are learned people, brahmayushapi kritaraddham mudam smarantaha, they are unable to express their unlimited gratitude to you, O Krishna, even in a lifetime of Brahma. Even if they are given a lifetime of Brahma, they won't be able to sufficiently express their gratitude to you. What for? Because you have appeared both externally and internally to help the devotee come back to you. Yo antar bahis tanubhratam ashubhan vidhunvan acharya chaitya upusha swagatim vyanakti. Externally you have appeared as acharya and internally you have appeared as a chaitya guru to help the devotee make the proper decisions so that eventually he returns back to the spiritual world. And there in the purport, the disciples of Prabhupada, they say, they quote Jiva Goswami and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Lord Krishna is 10 million times more dear to a devotee than life itself. And according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, even by rendering devotional service for the total duration of 1,000 universal creations, a devotee cannot repay the debt he feels to the Lord for having awarded him loving service to the Lord's lotus feet. Right? So far we have discussed how as the Chaitya Guru, Krishna helps us make a decision when faced with a contradiction, when faced with a perplexity. And in the last few minutes that we have left, I'd like to briefly touch upon how Krishna appearing as the Acharya helps us make a decision also when we are faced with a confusing situation in life, which arises without one wanting such confusion. Prabhupada says, right in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna faces perplexity there. Actually, last year, you know, quite a few months I spent at WADA, post-COVID era. So, that was a tough time, lying in bed, waiting for time to pass. So, the lifesaver for me at that time was Vishwarup Prabhu's online yatras. So, he took online yatras to Nandagram, Barsana, unheard of places and unheard of pastimes. So, I experienced when you are extremely sick, it's very difficult to just stick to the pastimes which you already know. You want something new and fresh to hear, and Vishwarup Prabhu's classes just provided that. New stories unheard of before. So I'm extremely grateful for him. So, in that series, he took a few classes on his spiritual master, who is my spiritual master also, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And he spoke something connected to his own personal life. As most of us know, he has two children. And one of his children is his second daughter. Her name is Varshabhanavi. I think she's 18 years old plus right now. So because of some complications during birth, she was born as a brain damaged child. So when the CT scan was done after 4 months, it was discovered that 40% of her brain was damaged. And the doctors eventually told them that she will not be able to go to school, she won't be able to walk, she'll not be able to talk. So internally she is going to remain, mentally she is going to remain a 6-month-year-old child, while externally the body continues to grow. Externally, she is 18 years old plus, but internally, she is a 6-month-year-old baby. Yeah. So, Vishwarup Prabhu, in his own words, he says that it was like, you know, it's like a massive blow to parents. For a parent to hear something about this is what has happened to your own child, it's devastating. But then in his lecture he said how Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he gave them a new perspective. He told them that this is a special child whom Krishna has put under your care. So if you take care of her, that is your path back home, back to Godhead. Because she is a child who is a very advanced devotee, who has only little time left in this material world, who has expressed to Krishna that, Krishna, I don't want to interact with the outside world. I just want to be absorbed internally in my own bhajan. So she has expressed that to Krishna, and so this is how she appears. So as a service to her, you have to maintain a Krishna conscious atmosphere at home. You have to do, you know, bhajans. You have to have a very high level of consciousness and do kirtans, have harikatha at home. And even externally it might seem that she is sleeping, but internally she'll be absorbing all that Krishna consciousness, and this is going to be her last lifetime. So Maharaj provided that perspective to Vishwarup Prabhu, and Vishwarup Prabhu says that, you know, that completely changed the entire scenario for him. Now, of course, the spiritual master providing the right spiritual perspective is one thing, but to actually take it and follow it is a whole different thing. And the credit equally goes to Vishwarup Prabhu for having completely taken that in and taken that to heart. But the main point that I wanted to make here was, they're faced with a challenging situation in due course of time. You know, as time progressed, a lot of doctors came up and told them that, you know, we'll be able to help your child. And Vishwarup Prabhu says that there was one particular homeopathic doctor who was very famous, very well reputed, and he gave them assurance that I'll revive the entire brain of your child through my medications. She'll become completely normal. She'll be able to walk, talk. She'll be able to go to school. So when the doctor is so confident, his colleagues are so confident, and a lot of devotees also gave that confidence to them. So naturally the parents, they felt, yes, this is a nice thing to try out. Right? So they went for the medication, and sure enough, when Varshabhanavi, she started taking those medications, her brain did start to grow. The scans started showing, started reflecting that her brain was growing. But then there was a clash between the growing brain and the dead brain. The brain which was dead within, which was still lying inside the skull. So there was a clash between, because the space is limited, and the functionality and the space, so there was a clash. And that clash between the living, growing brain and the dead brain was manifesting externally as agony for the child. So she was in tremendous pain, howling, wailing all through the night, all through the day. And for parents to see that, to see your child in that kind of mortal pain, it's heartbreaking. So they are confronted with that contradiction. On the one hand, there is this option of facilitating your daughter's passive devotional service. And on the other hand, apparently there is an opportunity to facilitate your daughter's active devotional service, in the sense that if she becomes a normal child, she'll be able to perform active devotional service in the future. But then, how to resolve it? Because, yes, the brain is growing, and even the doctor is assuring that this is bound to happen. She might even have convulsions. You give medicines for that, but continue with the medications. I assure you that it's a temporary situation. But the temporary situation was too much to bear. So they confronted Radhanath Swami Maharaj once again. So Vishwarup Prabhu describes that, you know, Maharaj was living for the United States that very day. But he took out time, and Vishwarup Prabhu and his wife, they met Maharaj in Vrindavan forest. And Maharaj heard the entire situation very patiently. And then he gave a decision. He resolved the contradiction. He resolved their confusion and their perplexity. And he told them, you stop the medicines immediately. I would love it if you stop the medications immediately. Why? It is not important for your child to develop the brain, Maharaj said. It is important for her to be peaceful and unagitated. More important than having her brain developed, it's important that she remains peaceful and unagitated. And he said, when somebody is in pain, one cannot receive spirituality. The soul can't receive spirituality when one is undergoing pain. So the pain and the suffering is like a barrier that is keeping her from taking in all the spirituality that is available at your home. So Maharaj provided that vision. And Vishwaroop Prabhu expands on that. And he has spoken about this in his classes here also, that except for advanced devotees, very advanced devotees like Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, even though he was in pain, he was able to remember Krishna. But for most people, when they are in pain, whether in physical pain or emotional pain, that pain acts as a barrier for spiritual progress. That pain acts as a barrier to remember Krishna, which is the essence of spirituality. So to facilitate anyone's spiritual progress, part of the process is to relieve them of the pain that they are undergoing, whether it be physical or emotional. And Maharaj, he kind of gave that insight to them, that you stop this medication, let her be peaceful, and even though externally she'll be sleeping, still, because all of you are so Krishna conscious at home, and because you are practicing spirituality with such vigor, so dynamically, so she is going to absorb all that spirituality, she is going to grow in her spiritual life, and this is going to be her last lifetime. So, that is why, you know, Uddhava is rendering that prayer to Krishna, that the learned scholars, those who are really intelligent, they can't express their gratitude to Sri Krishna even if they are given a time period of a lifetime of Brahma to express their gratitude to Krishna. Why? Because by appearing as a Chaitya Guru and as appearing as a spiritual master, you know, the spiritual master's instructions, he's helping the conditioned soul every day, at every instance, at every moment. He's there to help us to take the right decisions which will help us go back to the spiritual world. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam vidhami buddhi yogantam yenama upayantite. And Krishna does give the intelligence of how to take the right decision, provided we don't forget that five-word prayer, as our Rajyari Prabhu, the secret five-word prayer. You know, how can I please you? Simple. If we simply have that prayer in mind, definitely Krishna will give us the intelligence, even in the face of the biggest contradictions, even in the face of the biggest perplexity. Thank you very much. I'm way beyond time. Very sorry. Grandhra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna.